United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So, welcome, and let me take this opportunity to introduce you to the members of the board. To my left, we have Building Inspector John Whitman and our attorney, John Bailey. Then, to my left, we also have members Tim Bowers, Bob Lenarks. To my right, Bob Metz, Dwight Mateer, and our recording secretary, Anna Warren-Zizzi. If anyone appearing before this board is related through family, financial, or business relationship with any member of this board, it is incumbent upon him to make it known under state law and code of ethics. Our first order of business will be the approval of the minutes of the previous meeting. Each member of the board having previously received and read the minutes of the previous meeting date, February 21st, the chair will entertain a motion that the reading of this minutes be dispensed with the approval of the same.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
On the question, Kim?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Dwight?
Yes.
And the chair also. All persons making an appeal before the board will be heard in accordance with the town's laws and state of New York, Article 16, Sections 267, 279, and 280A, Subdivision 3, and the Town of Orchard Park Zoning Ordinance. Per Section 144-63E1, all public notices have been filed. Any person aggrieved by any decision of the Board of Appeals may present to a court of record a petition duly verified setting forth that such decision is illegal, specifying the grounds of the illegality. Such petition must be presented to the court within 30 days after filing of the decision in the office of the town clerk. Will the secretary please read the affidavit of publication and posting of the legal notice for this meeting?
Notice is hereby given that the Zoning Board of Appeals of the Town of Orchard Park, New York, will hold a public hearing on Tuesday, the 21st of March, 2023, at 7 p.m. in the Orchard Park Community Activity Center, 4520 California Road, in said town, in the matter of the following appeals.
Let the record show that site inspections for tonight's cases were made by Kim?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Dwight?
Yes.
And the chair also. So when it is your turn to come up, please come forward. You can sit, stand. Just please sign in. Anna, will you please read the first item?
DBA file number 523, John Thank you. 4990 Ellicott Road, Zoned R2, SBL number 173.17-1-3, Farm Lot 13, Township 9, Range 7, requests two area variances for a pole barn. The first area variance is for the barn to be forward of the primary structure with a 16-foot front setback. Minimum front setback in an R2 zone is 40 feet. Section 144, Attachment 14.1, Schedule of Height, Lot, Yard, and Bulk Regulations. The second area variance is that the barn exceeds the footprint of the primary structure by 338 square feet, a use customarily incidental and subordinate to the main use or building and located on the same lot therewith. In no case shall such accessory use dominate in area, extent, or purpose the principal lawful use or building, except that vehicle parking areas may be larger than building area. Section 144-5, terms defined.
For the record, I am recusing myself from this case. Mr. Gannon, am I still allowed to run the meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
But no comments.
Correct.
Okay, so first, before I start, the SBL is incorrect, and I don't want to have no issues again like I've been having. The SBL number, the new number after I merged the lots, is 173.17-1-2.1. along with the map is incorrectly highlighted. It's this parcel that's here.
Okay.
It's tied together.
Okay.
That's all been done with Dan over in Sussex office. I had to merge them in order to build on that parcel.
Okay.
So I went through that whole process. I merged everything for this barn that's already been put up. I submitted all my plans through the planning board or the building department. I got approval. Actually, I submitted a barn that was too big. Steve Bremer said I had to shrink it down to meet the square footage of my house. Then I also asked about the right-of-way, how far I had to be from right-of-way. Steve Bremer then also told me that it's just 10-foot property lines, 10-foot from right-of-way, because that's considered my backyard. So then he gave me a permit, which I have right here, issued me a permit. There's no setbacks on there. There's no front yard setback, rear setback, even though I kept it 15 so I was safe from right-of-way and from the backyard. The barn went up. I also didn't have anything on the area. He told me 2,400 was good. His math was incorrect, obviously. I needed to go up. I was 338 square foot over. The barn went up. Final inspection day comes. Steve Bremer was supposed to come out and inspect it. That day, he was no longer there. He had gotten fired. So now I'm here where John Littman says his math was wrong, so I have to apply for a variance for the setback and the area because I am over.
So then I'm going to have the board ask questions.
Okay.
Okay. Kim, we'll start with you.
I don't have any questions.
Beth?
Just for the record, the setback on Chestnut Ridge Road, the front setback that they were talking about.
It's not on Chestnut Ridge Road, though. It would be on Arbor Road.
Okay. But I just wanted to put in the record that there's no infringement on a neighborhood, no infringement on a neighboring property. There is no neighboring property.
No.
Okay, that's all I wanted to just establish that fact.
Yes, it would be directly facing Armor Road. The right-of-way there is 50 foot from Edger Road. The total right-of-way, which is unique in that area, is 160, because when the 219 went in, they added that section. Ellicott used to go straight. So the right-of-way between Chestnut Ridge Road and Filson is 160 foot wide. Therefore, being 60 foot from center, or 80 foot from center line, excuse me, and 40 foot from side of road, which would push my barn even further towards my neighbors on Filson, which I didn't want to do, because had I wanted to do that, I would have had to cut a driveway across my whole backyard and then put the same size structure up all the way with all my neighbors on Filson, where I'd rather comply and be away from my neighbors, more closer to the road, per se, instead of having to drive through my yard to get to it.
All right. Thank you. I just wanted to stay out with that. Yeah.
I have no questions.
No, I got a whole bunch of questions. What are you going to use the barn for? What do you use it for?
Right now, nothing, because I'm waiting for approval. Okay. Then I would like to get concrete in there. We're putting a pool up this summer, so we got all the kids' toys. She wants to park in the garage, as I want to put another vehicle in our two-car garage. Right now, with all the kids' toys, we got dirt bikes, we got tools and grills and all this stuff. I would rather store in there than having the tool shed. So I want to get rid of my shed, my garden tractor, leaf catcher, as you know, all kinds of just outdoor stuff I want to be able to keep in there.
Okay. Are you going to run any kind of business out of that? Okay. I have no other questions.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. So now I'm going to have to go to the audience. So is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak on behalf of grandparents? Please state your name and your address for the record.
Joanne Lewin, Clinton, 4995 Chestnut Ridge Road. I am directly next to the new structure, which is really in his backyard, not his side yard or front yard, but the way the house is placed. And I would like to speak in favor. It is not a change in the neighborhood characteristic. It's an addition. It's a brand new structure. It's well done. It fits the character. We have a lot of other issues in our neighborhood with buildings with holes in the roofs that need to be addressed by this town rather than pick on somebody that's trying to make an improvement to its property.
Okay. Is there anyone else that wishes to speak on behalf of Grand Prairies? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak against the Grand Prairies? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to... Oh, please state your name and your address for the record.
Maria Glaske, I'm from Wilson. And I don't quite understand. I'm not familiar with the, you know, how you work up the zoning and so forth, but I assumed that we would be notified before anything was built. And I did, I have here the chair, if you need a copy. I spoke on July 18th, or I emailed on July 18th Steve Bremer, saying that I recently heard a pole barn was going to be built on the property, above property. I live in Wilson in my yard, along with a few others adjoining the property and public. That being said, will we be notified in advance of having, so we can voice our concerns? He responded the next day, neighbors don't get notified for a pole barn unless a variance is needed. What is your concern? I responded the following day, my concern is the size. And he then responded the same day to, I'll have to look into what is being proposed. I just don't understand how this happened, that we didn't have this hearing before it was built. Somebody can answer that.
No, no one can answer it.
Why not?
There is no answer.
There is no answer.
There is no answer.
But isn't that procedure?
No.
That's not procedure?
No.
Really? I thought that was the whole purpose.
Why do we have to call Mary Hinterberger, 8 Wilson Drive? What's the point of having the meeting, I guess, if, you know what I mean? That's all I wanted. Well, that's not the only
thing. The point of having the meeting is for the presentation and for the public to state comments.
But it's
not already. And I think you're stating that you're opposed to the granting of variance. Is that right?
But it still doesn't answer my question. The other thing is, I totally get wanting to build a structure for those kind of items because we just did the same thing and we got all the variances and permits and everything we needed. But my question is, why does it have to be so big? It's bigger than the house, I think. How many square foot is this structure and how many square foot is the house?
I don't believe that the square footage of the house is the issue here. It's,
no, it's I'm not tough. Asking you
Let
the
me finish.
Square foot. No.
The square footage of the house... The barn is satisfies the code. The question is how close it can be to Armour Road.
And how about the driveway he added onto Armour Road? Driving area he added from his property to go onto Armour Road, a second one, is that allowed?
All right. This really shouldn't be a dialogue.
Oh, boy, you are so full of it. Why can't you just answer the question? You want to know why Tick-Tick's mad? But you don't just answer the
All
question.
Right.
I think
some defense here. Somebody
please,
tells me other things.
Please comment. Make your comment. And if you have anything to inquire of the building inspector after the meeting, you'll be available.
Yeah, but this building inspector didn't come to respond to her. So my question is, if this structure was already built, why bother having the meeting? That's my question.
Exactly.
Answer the question.
May I answer that?
Why can't he answer the question?
Because I think it is the job of our attorney to answer it.
Okay, my question is, can I ask why you had to recruit yourself? Do we get to know
because
that?
Because I am a village trustee, and he works for the village.
Exactly.
Well, thanks for... No, I appreciate you explaining.
And that is a completely separate entity.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I just wanted to know why, that's all. But I think it's baloney, and of course it's all about attorneys. And you don't want to be called out on what you did.
You've got 30 seconds to finish.
I have no respect for anything you have to say.
Finish in 30 seconds.
Oh,
thank you.
I will not.
Is there anyone else that wishes to speak against the granting variance? Okay. Anna, have you received any outside communication?
The ones I have been forwarded to the board.
Okay. So now I'm closing all public comments, so no public comments were needed. Is there a board discussion?
I don't think the building we've tried to establish so that it infringe on any neighborhood property, and to the best of my knowledge, it does not. There is two area variances that was just being sought here.
I apologize.
You were, one of them is 338 feet. But I could get behind it because I don't think it does. I agree, it doesn't change the character of that particular neighborhood. And therefore, I could get behind the granting variance. So I would be willing to.
What else?
Kind of in an answer to her question. The point of having this meeting is either to grant or deny the variance. And that being said, if the variance is denied, the applicant would have to remove the structure. So this meeting has purpose.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to know.
No more discussion from the floor, please.
Okay, thank you.
So, being that, you know, I visited this site.
Can you speak into my phone?
Oh, can everyone hear me?
No.
Okay, I'll speak into this.
Thank you.
How about now? Is that better?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I visited this site, and I really don't feel that it's substantial. It is 308 square feet larger than the primary structure, but I would find that it's pretty substantial primary structure as well, and that I think that that's not a substantial request. It'd be difficult for the petitioner to achieve this in some other way than through granting the variance because, unfortunately, the structure is built. But that doesn't sway me in any way. I mean, I feel that if I felt it was substantial or that it was an undesirable change in the character of the community, that it wouldn't be unreasonable to take it down. But I support the petitioner's request in this case.
Is there a board member willing to make a motion?
You went through
everything.
Yeah, they might as well. All right. A comment time is...
Did I understand her right to say that there's a driveway out on the arm of the road?
That's not part of the variance, so we're not going to discuss that. And the public hearing portion of the meeting has been closed. I apologize. Okay. Go ahead.
All right. I'll make a motion to grant the variance under the condition that you remove the existing shed that you plan on removing anyways. I feel there is no undesirable change in the character of the neighborhood or detriment to nearby properties created. The benefits sought cannot be achieved in some other way other than through granting the variance. The variance is not substantial, both, and this is for both variances, the area, both area variances, the setback and the square footage for my motion. And that there is no adverse effect or impact on the physical or environmental conditions of the neighborhood. I feel the difficulty is self-created, but that does not preclude granting of the variances.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
I have a question.
Kim?
Tim says yes, and so does Kim.
Bob?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Dwight?
Yes.
So, it passed. So, good luck. You don't have to stay, and you can contact the building department tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for your time.
So, Anna, can you please read the next item?
CBA file number 623, Town Hyundai, 3525 Southwestern Boulevard, Zone B2, SBL number 161.07-7-7.1, part of Farm Lot 22, Township 10, Range 7. Request an area variance to replace the existing 10-foot sign with a 16-foot-high monument sign, 120 square feet in area with a 21-square-foot text area, a freestanding sign with a solid supporting base not exceeding 30 square feet in area or 5 feet in height, where sign surface and base are the same dimension, the text of the sign shall not exceed 20 square feet. Section 144-5, terms defined.
Hello, welcome. Hello.
Thank you. My name is Michael Yost from Yost Neon Displays. I'm the installer for the sign. I'm representing Architectural Graphics, who is the manufacturer and represents Hyundai. There is an existing sign at the property right now. The property's gone over some larger model. We're rebranding, refacing the property. The Hyundai has asked for this sign right here. It is 16 feet 6 inches tall. It would be on the other side of the parking lot of the Mazda sign, which I was in here a few years ago and granted a variance for that sign also for 15 feet tall. This would be right on the opposite side of the entrance parkway where the existing sign is now. In driving down here, just an observation from me as a sign person, most of the signs there are within this sign range. This would probably be the medium or average size. Southwestern's what I've seen, especially the Chrysler sign, which is probably the tallest sign on the road. There's the Mazda, Chrysler, I saw Chevrolet, Jeep. So that's what Hyundai's looking for, a variance for the height to be larger than allowed. And I believe the text area with this size sign would be 1 square foot over the 20 allowed. I believe that's the second part of this variance. And that's what we're asking for.
Okay. I will start. Wait.
Can you turn your microphone on, please? We can't hear you. Thank you. Thank you.
Do you have a site plan that shows where you're going to put this? Because the information was provided was better back.
You should be able to see this, but this is the entranceway right here coming in off Southwestern Boulevard. As you pull in right to your left, there's an existing Hyundai sign there now. It's going to go right in that general area of that. So it's not going to be to the other end of the property or anything like that. It's going to be, as you pull in, you'll have the Mazda sign to your right and the Hyundai sign to your left, like it is now.
So you're bringing it forward towards the roadway from the existing sign?
The existing sign that's there will be demolished, taken out.
Yeah, like I said before, it's difficult to ascertain what's going on. There's no scale or dimensions on this. It's not an actual survey.
Right.
It's a sketch.
Yeah, this, well...
But it shows existing sign, and that looks like it's an undetermined distance further back. And this new sign is an undeterminable distance forward.
If the variance was granted, the new sign would be installed in accordance to the town
minimum 15-foot
setback. We would follow the town's lead on where that sign would be back from the road. I don't know the amounts off the top of my head. You said 15 feet.
Minimum 15 feet off.
Well, that's where it would be at least. We would not encroach or break that ordinance. It would be back, whatever the town code says.
In the past, when petitioners come to us, they have more of a detailed site layout with distances drawn on it that show what the sign's going to be. So this one was a little vague to me.
I wouldn't argue with that, but that's what Hyundai gave me.
It's okay. I understand the limitations on that.
But we would follow the town code as far as setbacks and placement.
The doors. Do you have a catalog that you pick these signs out of? And are there other alternatives besides this one?
I can only speak from my experience on this 31 years of doing this. Usually these dealerships and these car manufacturers do have certain individual sizes. Like Chevrolet might have something that's 50 feet tall, or they might have something that's 10 feet tall and maybe two in between. Because they mass produce these, they're not customs or one-offs. That would be way too costly, so they make certain sizes. So I would imagine when Hyundai looked at this, they probably looked at the signs that are on Southwestern They probably range from 10 feet to 20 feet, so they probably chose that size sign in that range to fit other signs on the street. It happens to be larger than allowed. So that's what they do. They don't custom make is what I'm saying.
Well, I know
there could be one smaller, there could be two bigger. I can't answer that.
Other petitioners have come with a catalog, and they say, we want this, but we offer this and this, and they explain why they chose one over another.
Yeah, I can't speak too much for that. All I know is somebody said, go ask for permission for this. I said, okay, I will.
Okay, I have no other questions. Thank you.
That's all I can say.
Stop.
I guess my only concern, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, my only concern with signs in general, it seems every time we hear one, it's always bigger. I mean, you discussed the Mazda sign, I believe, at 15 feet,
right.
And this one is at, what, 16.5?
The Chevrolet sign and the Jeep sign are probably at 20. They're not. It is a five-lane road, and it's 55 miles an hour. These are large dealerships worth millions of dollars. In my opinion, as a sign expert, they deserve a nice sign. That's my opinion. I'm not trying to agree with this. Just,
I mean, I guess my
if I had a family out of dealers, I want a nice sign.
What the rules are.
Right.
I mean, I could see, just speaking myself, you know, 15 feet because the one next to you is 15. This here is another foot and a half.
Right.
I mean, the next one, is it going to be 18 or what? But that's my only concern. Thank you.
I get it.
My question.
My question is, and I know you mentioned that you were the one that came in front of us for the Mazda sign.
I did.
So you probably recall that it originally looked like that as well, where it was solid.
Yes.
And then we asked to have it more of a cutout.
Yes,
like
you did.
You're showing us now.
Yes, you did.
I would love if we could go back to that style, because I think the concern was, as a board, that it blocks any kind of view when people are pulling out or pulling in. So if the opportunity could present itself that it's more, it's not solid, I would be happy with that.
Okay.
I wouldn't be so concerned quite as much as I would with the cutout.
Is that something that
I can't answer that question.
Okay.
That's up to Hyundai what they want to do.
The existing sign is solid.
The existing sign is solid. It's shorter when it's solid.
You can come sit with them if you want.
Yeah, the only question I can answer is the only thing
I
can say.
I say I thought of that too. One was open, one was solid, but
this is there now.
Solid, so I don't know if there's been any problems over there, but I don't know. What's the size of the existing sign?
10 feet tall, 6, 7, 8 feet wide.
It's shorter.
It's I guess that's why the town has certain setbacks from roads, so people can pull up and see left and right. That's why those laws exist. We would follow those laws.
The second sign, that's not happening, is it?
That's approved.
Oh, and it is
a directional sign.
Oh,
yeah, that's
the side of the property. That
yeah,
is
that'll
not
be
by the road.
Around the corner or somewhere by the building.
Got it. Okay. Does anyone else have any questions?
I have an additional question. In the request for the area variance, you're asking for a 16-foot sign, and then it says 120 square feet in area with 21 square feet of text area. Maybe John, maybe this question is more for John, but what's the variance on the total area or the text area? Because the code says a freestanding sign with a solid support base shall not exceed 30 square feet in area or 5 feet in height. But in the above request, they're asking for a 120 square foot area with a 21 square foot text area. To me, I would suspect that the 120 square foot area is the total area of the sign, and that's would exceed the 30.
Yeah.
Of the variance, so it's a four times.
Yeah, because that's actually considered a monument sign because of a solid base.
And if they put legs on it,
if they put legs, well, if they put
with the legs included,
it goes to a freestanding. But then, these 16-footers, then they can be 40 square feet, but that's the solid, just one pole going up, pedestal sign.
Right.
So that's where some of the differences are on the code sign when you read definitions. So this is considered that monument sign with that solid base.
That could be why we shouldn't have a sign as tall as that in there, because it's technically a pole sign. It has a single pole with a big sign. And I don't know what the code kind of what your part reads on that.
If it's a pole at 16 foot maximum and 40 square feet for the sign.
Different size of signs.
I have no other questions. Thank you. Thank you for the clarification, Jen.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak on behalf of Grant and Variance? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak on behalf of Grant and Variance? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak against the Grant and Variance?
Hi, I'm Teresa Wyatter, 4270 South Taylor Road. I'm just wondering, is the 5 feet the regulation now, and was it passed to put up then a 10-foot sign, and now they're going to 16, and I guess I have the same concern as Dwight. If we keep going up and up, where do we stop with the signs?
Where are you getting the 5 feet from?
Right here it says a freestanding sign with a solid supporting base not exceeding 30 square feet in area or 5 feet in height.
Yeah.
Am I reading that correctly, or... Because according to this, already the height is to be 5 feet high, and it already exceeds it by another 5 feet to 10 feet, and then they want to go to another 6 feet to 16 feet.
I think the 5 foot is for a solid support base, where a lollipop sign doesn't have a solid support base, it has a pole, then that can be 16 feet.
Oh, okay.
And
so
it's not written here.
Yeah, it's not written here. That was
That's why it seems a little...
Okay, thank you.
Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anyone else that wishes to speak against the grant of variance? Okay. Anna, did you receive any outside communication?
No.
Okay. So I'm closing the public hearing portion, so no more comments from the audience, please. Board discussion?
I prefer to see it not solid.
I would prefer to see it a little shorter, even if it's only up to 15 feet.
You know, it's very hard to hear you. If you can speak, and Kim also, to speak into the microphone, you have a very soft voice.
I prefer to not see it solid.
Okay, thank you.
And I would prefer it to be no more than 15 feet.
I agree with the 15 plus one.
Is this something that you could go back to them and see if they have any options?
We could go back and see if there's something. Maybe they modify this. Maybe they. Like I said, I can't see from them too much.
Right.
We received a brand book from what they had. I don't know if there's any other options.
Yeah,
unfortunately, I don't. Right. It's probably the dealer picked.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure.
Well, what we can do is table it so then you don't have to go and reapply or anything. We won't make a decision tonight and you can look into it and see what's out there.
I will agree with one more thing, Dwight said too. Sometimes we do get those brand books where we have other options.
Right.
For whatever reason, I wasn't supplied with that.
Yeah.
And he's right, we do have that sometimes.
Yeah, I could support tabling as well.
Yep.
I think it gives the petitioner the opportunity.
All right. So then, do I have a board member willing to make a motion?
I'll make the motion regarding ZBA file 06-23. I make a motion that we table the variance request until they have an opportunity to look at some other ideas.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
On a question. Kim?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Dwight?
Yes.
And the chair also. So, we'll table it for this time.
Okay.
Thank you. So once I find out if there's options, do I get a hold of John or call him? Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
I'll thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Good night.
Okay. Anna, when you're ready, can you read the next item, please?
Yep. CBA file number 723, Bliss Construction, 4370 South Taylor Road, Zone I-1, SBL number 172.07-1-6.1, part of Farm Lot 23, Township 9, Range 7. Request an area variance for a 9-foot side setback adjoining a residence. Minimum side setback in the I-1 zone adjoining a residence is 20 feet, Section 144, Attachment Schedule of Height, Lot, Yard, and Bulk Regulations.
Yes, good evening, Chairperson and members of the Zoning Board of Appeals. Sean Hopkins of the law firm of Hopkins, Sir J. McCarthy, on behalf of the applicant, Bliss Construction. Also with me is Chris Wood, the project engineer from Carmina Wood Design, as well as Chris Orloff from Bliss Company. We're here this evening in connection with a request for a setback variance for a previously approved office building to be located at 4370 South Taylor Road. And that site plan was previously approved by the planning board. Before I go any further, I just want to highlight what we've handed out to you. The first is color aerial photograph from the Erie County website that shows the property. The second is a copy of the relevant schedule of the zoning code. I believe that's schedule 15, which is titled Supplemental Height, Lot, Yard, and Bulk Regulations. We've also provided you with a black and white copy of the site plan with a yellow area highlighted. That yellow area is actually an existing DOT drainage easement. We'll talk about that in a second. And then finally, we've attached the real estate listing for the property directly next door, which is located here at 4360 South Taylor Road. That is the actual side yard property line that we're seeking an area variance for. So the site itself is approximately 1.407 acres in size. And as I indicated, the planning board has previously approved the project on the site. Consists of a two-story commercial building comprised of 12,000 square feet. There is a tenant. There's been a signed lease. And we're under a tight schedule to deliver the space per the terms and conditions of the lease. The reason why we're specifically here is we need a setback variance from this property line. The zoning code would require 20 feet, and what we're depicting there is a minimum of 9 feet. I do want to mention, and I understand that it's an oversight, but it is nonetheless important. If you look at Schedule 15 of the Zoning Code, which is this handout, and actually turn to the second page, and towards the bottom, you'll see on the left-hand side, I-1 Industrial. That's the zoning district that we're in. And then if you scan across the columns to side yard setback, unfortunately, you'll see that it's actually blank. So that's obviously a mistake, but that's part of the reason we're here this evening. It previously been interpreted that there was not a required setback along that property line. If you look at footnote number 5, which is down below, you'll see those notes. It says 20 feet shall be required adjoining any residence. Most likely, that should have been a footnote in that column of the code. But I do want to note that's part of the problem why we're here, well after the fact the project's actually already been approved. And I believe this board actually previously did grant a variance to allow parking in the front yard.
That was...
I believe so.
Change in town code.
Yes.
Oh, the code changed, okay.
They changed after probably
approved,
but... Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember it coming before.
Okay.
Either way.
That was my understanding. Maybe you had not granted approval.
It's allowed with the planning board approval.
Right, the code was changed.
Right.
Okay, originally it always required a variance from this board, so if I misspoke on that, I apologize. So we do have some site constraints here, because obviously one of the questions that always comes up when a request for an area variance is presented to this board, is are there any feasible alternatives that would allow us to receive the benefit we're seeking without the requested area variance? Unfortunately, with respect to this particular project, we can't simply move this building. So if you look on that handout that I've given you, which is a marked-up copy of the site plan, that area in yellow is an existing permanent drainage easement that was granted to the New York State Department of Transportation. That's used for stormwater storage. And you can see it actually goes very close to that back corner of our building, so we can't encroach on that. And then secondly, you can also see we have the boundaries of what's the regulated 100-year FEMA floodplain, which is this dotted line that kind of curves along the tributary to South Bridge, Smokes Creek. Obviously, as is the case with any request for an area variance, this is governed by the balancing test and the five criteria set forth in New York State Town Law, Section 267B3B, which requires you, on the one hand, balance the benefits that will be received by the applicant if the requested area variance is granted, and weigh those against any resulting detriments to the health, safety, and welfare of the neighborhood. In this case, the benefits are quite clear. This project is literally approved. We have a signed lease based on this square footage, and in the absence of this variance, we have some big problems, because obviously we'd have to go back to the drawing board, we'd need additional approvals, we'd be in violation of our lease, et cetera, et cetera. And again, it appears that's because of an oversight previously made by the town. We're not blaming anyone, but that's why we're here. We also think that if you take a look at this, there are no detriments that would result. And in connection with that, I would ask you to consider several things. So the relevant section of the zoning code, that footnote 5, that inadvertently is not referenced in Schedule 15, says the required setback is 20 feet where adjoining any residence. That's the actual language. Required setback is 20 feet where adjoining any residence. In this instance, we have a somewhat strange situation. The property directly next door, located at 4360 South Taylor Road, consists of more than one use. So it definitely has a single-family home. You can actually see it's on the brochure. This property is actively being marketed. It appears to have an accessory apartment, but it also has two industrial buildings in the back, which is not surprising. That's the zoning classification. The zoning classification of that property next door is exactly the same zoning classification of the project site. It's industrial. So while it's noted that, yes, I guess you could say there is a residential use, I think it's important to note two things. Number one, I think it's at least debatable whether that's the principal use, because it's zoned industrial and has an industrial use. And then second of all, that house, believe it or not, is actually non-conforming, meaning while it's there and it can stay there, it wouldn't be permitted in the I-1 zoning district if they were proposing that house today in 2023. In connection with that balancing test, there's five criteria that you need to consider. Criteria number one is whether the grant of the requested relief will result in undesirable change to the character of the neighborhood or a detriment to nearby properties. We think the answer to that is no. Everything from a technical perspective has been well vetted by the planning board. We ultimately received approval by the engineering department. The only way we can move this building would be literally to move it into the floodplain and into that drainage easement area. Whether or not we would ultimately even be successful in accomplishing that is highly debatable. I don't think DOT would want us to modify their drainage easement. And what Chris would say is, from an environmental perspective, that's not a good idea, because basically you're taking a building that's not in the floodplain and now moving it into the floodplain, which obviously raises some other concerns. So I think that criteria weighs in our favor. The second criteria is whether the benefits being sought by the applicant can be achieved by some other method feasible for the applicant to pursue other than the requested setback variance, the setback variance of 11 feet. I think I've already answered that question. No, unfortunately, due to site constraints that are in place today, the fact that this has already been approved by the planning board, and perhaps most importantly, we literally have a lease based on this layout and this square footage. There is no way we can eliminate the requested setback variance and not and receive the benefits we're seeking. Criteria number three is whether the requested area variance is substantial. And the key inquiry in connection with that particular criteria is whether or not any harm will result. It's our position that no harm will result from the granting of the requested area variance to allow the project site to be developed in accordance with the site plan previously approved by the planning board. Criteria number four is whether the proposed variance will have an adverse effect or impact on the physical or environmental conditions in the neighborhood. The most important aspect of that particular criteria is, number one, the planning board did issue a negative declaration pursuant to the State Environmental Quality Review Act, meaning they determined ultimately that this project and this project layout will not result in any potentially significant adverse environmental impacts. And then, as I indicated earlier, if we even considered moving this building, the environmental impacts would be more. We'd be moving into a DOT drainage easement, we'd be moving into a 100-year floodplain, et cetera, et cetera. So there really is no way to avoid that occurring if the variance is denied, which we wouldn't be successful. And then finally, criteria number five, whether or not the alleged difficulty was self-created. And as this board is aware, that particular criteria cannot be the sole basis for your decision. In this instance, which is fairly rare, it's clear as day it's not a self-created hardship, and that's based on if you actually look at Schedule 15 of the zoning code, unfortunately for the town, that particular column is left blank. It's probably an error that will be fixed in the future, but based on Chris's discussions, the previous code enforcement officer, the interpretation was there is no required setback. Obviously, Chris has worked on countless projects in the town of Orchard Park. If he had been advised the setback was 20 feet, he wouldn't have gotten to this point in the process without dealing with that particular topic. So in summary, we think we've provided you with strong justification based on the balancing test and the five criteria, and we would ask to be granted the requested area variance so we can proceed in accordance with the site plan approved by the planning board and honor the terms and conditions set forth in our lease with the tenant to relocate the new building. If you have any questions, either myself, Chris, or Chris Ortloff would welcome the opportunity to address them. Thank you.
I guess we'll start asking questions then. Bob, we'll start with you.
Is the entire building already under lease?
Yes.
The whole first floor, second floor?
The whole. My understanding is the entire building.
The whole first floor.
The whole first floor.
That's correct.
I don't know if that's public who the tenant is, but it is under lease.
Thank you.
It is public.
I don't think it is.
Okay. But it is.
That was it.
Bob? You know, you answered my question. I really wanted to know if you could compromise a bit, if you could move the building.
Right.
And you've made it clear that you can't do
right.
it. So that's all I
have.
Okay. I don't have any other questions. I think one concern would be berm or emblem, but some kind of screen.
We didn't bring the landscape plan, of course, on what's shown on the approved landscape plan.
It's probably just trees, but we could add additional landscaping if that was a requirement.
Yeah, we have no problem.
Okay.
I have a couple questions.
Sure.
One is for Mr. Bailey. Being that this is a corner lot, is the front yard setback on two streets? Does this lot have two front yards?
Yes.
That being said, then, would it also have two rear yards?
No. Side?
No.
No? It would still be a side and a rear?
Yes.
Okay.
And because the frontage is on South Taylor, it's a good question. Like, this would be considered the rear yard, and that would be considered the side yard.
All right. I understand the difficulty in where you got. I fully understand the situation you're in. It's my job as a board member to weigh all the pros and cons and both sides of the issue. You said that, and you're correct, it would be difficult to move it
right.
south.
Right.
What if you turned it at 180 degrees and brought it forward? Could you still have the same size footprint and enough parking?
You mean go this way?
Rotate it up 90 degrees and bring it that way.
Well, I know we're at the minimum number of parking spaces. So when I first looked at this way, my question was, why don't we just move the building forward, right?
Well,
like this.
You're taking away parking that way.
Right, we can't do
that. Could you reorientate it on the lot and bring it forward and rotate it 90 degrees and still have a successful project?
You mean?
Because you're still pinched by the easement line and then now the building, right, which is going to extend out the depth of the building instead of the width of the building.
What if we brought it over into here?
Right,
the easement line is yellow. That's your controlling that. I don't know if you have other reasons for
right, that. Right, so there's two controlling factors. Let me just highlight. So that's the drainage easement area, right? As you
right, and the floodplain.
And then we have the floodplain here, right?
Right.
Right, we did, when we originally laid out the site, obviously we always look at the most efficient layout to get us the most building and the most parking. And we did mess around with a whole bunch of different iterations on the site, and we found that this actually gets us the actual number of parking spaces that we needed. Otherwise, we would have been short. And also, from emergency vehicle position, the parking lot provides a loop where you come in the driveway and go around and go back out. If we rotated the building, it creates a long dead end, you know, more than 150 foot dead end.
Which you can't have under the fire code.
Right.
The other problem with that, I mean, it's certainly a useful comment. While we don't think it's feasible, the problem would also be timing, meaning we would actually then have to redo our, and I know it seems simple, we would have to re-prepare our engineered plans, go back in front of the planning board, and there's no way we would be able to comply with our obligations pursuant to the lease. We have a delivery date.
All right. That's all the questions I have. I appreciate it, Chair.
Oh, you're welcome.
So we know that the code should be the 20 feet. Is there any way that you can make the building maybe like 5 feet, I don't know, depending on which way you look at it, so it's like this?
Well, the only way we could do it is we'd literally have to take the 11 feet off this side of the building.
Right.
But now we have less space on the first floor than we've already committed to in terms of our lease. I mean, we've leased that whole first floor based on that square footage, which I believe is 6,000 square feet. And that's not bad faith on the part of the applicant. You know, they were proceeding in reliance on the planning board's approval.
But I see what you're saying, too. Can we take it and rotate it a little bit? Is that what you're saying? And push it back?
I guess I just want to get it off the property line a little bit more than it is.
Mm-hmm. Because we can only push it back to where the rear yard setback intersects.
Here?
No doubt. Where it intersects.
So I know you can't do that. So
that's as far as we can push it back, which isn't very much.
I think we're right on the edge, Joe.
According to this map, you are.
Here, you want to show?
Oh, okay.
Well, Chris was saying if you move the corner of the building to here. But yeah, that's going to be closer.
Yeah.
That's going to actually push that building a little bit closer to that adjoining property at 4360.
There wasn't a way that you could even add, like, so, like, you have this space. You can see I'm like tiny. So, like, you can't even add anything, like, in here, or, like,
not keep a rectangular shape building. You're asking, could we fill in a triangle here?
Something. Yeah. I would like to see it. I mean, if the code should be 20 feet, I at least would like to see the full 10 to be half.
Well, most of it is 10, just that little bump out.
Yeah, see, the only part that's not 10 is just this little bump out here. Right there, you see that? And that's just an architectural detail to avoid having a flat wall. I mean, it actually looked nicer with that 1 foot bump out. The rest of that building is entirely 10 feet, as you can see labeled on Chris's plan. I mean, I think, I understand that the comment, it's a good one, because, hey, is there any feasible alternatives? I think it's pretty clear there's not. Kim's request that we consider some enhanced landscaping there, I think, is a good one. And I think we also got to keep light of the site that really, we're not denying there is a residential use next door, but that property is zoned industrial, and from a long-term zoning perspective, that's probably what that entire site would be. I mean, it's most valuable, and as you can see, it's being sold. So it's being marketed right now for commercial use. While there's a house there today, there may not be a house there in a few years from now. I don't know.
Is there a reason why you guys haven't purchased that property?
I don't know if Paul had it in a contract or not, but we did look at that. Right. And the way it's configured is kind of an L shape that comes behind our property. There's a lot of that property that's actually in that same easement and floodplain.
Mm-hmm.
That it really didn't gain us enough based on what the purchase price was.
Yeah, you can see the purchase price is $585. And unfortunately, they have the same problem. We do a lot of it really can't be developed.
So right, they're right up against the highway garage on the other side. Mm-hmm. So it kind of constrains what we can do there.
Okay. Does anyone else have any questions?
And I just want to remind everyone, if you look at this, you actually can see the photos, you know. My argument would be, and I'm not taking exception with it, the predominant use of that site is industrial. I think it's clear as day. It's zoned industrial, and the industrial square footage on that site is bigger than the residential.
Right, those two commercial buildings actually have their own electric meters, so they must be being rented at some point, separate from the house. So it is being used as a commercial or industrial type use.
Then I'm going to go to the audience. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak on behalf of granting variance? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak on behalf of granting variance? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak against the granting variance? Please state your name and your address.
Yes, my name is Kern, 4360 South Taylor. I'm the one that has the house marketed.
And yes, that is correct. It is a residence. We are considered non-conforming residents because I've been there 36 years, and it was rezoned to industrial. And yes, it is listed. I'm against this variance, number one. It will be very detrimental in creating a hardship to my property because it is being marketed. And also, I believe they are also in violation because I went out there and did take pictures, and right now it's already dug and it's 3 feet from my property line right now. The variance will alter the character of my property and have an adverse effect on the sale of my property. With a 9-foot side setback, there'll be an increase in noise level, dust, odor, and drainage. And I also want to point out, they're going to have a 44 spaces for parking, which most likely will be blacktopped or concrete or something. So that will also affect the drainage in my property as well. I understand, too, that the site lighting fixtures and the poles will have flat lenses. However, with a 9-foot setback, this would cause too much light to shed on my property, interfering with a lot of natural light and clear ventilation. And also, my bedroom is on that side where they want the side variance, which will have a definite disturbance in my privacy. I also fail to see where the construction equipment trucks will have room to complete this project on that side without blocking my driveway, because there's a driveway there, and actually it's 3 feet from my driveway where the line is. I also want to point out that it was agreed upon at the town board meeting on March 11th, 2020, that they should be establishing a good neighbor policy. There's been no communication with this project going up at all. And the hours, normal hours from 7 to 5, but it was also brought up at the meeting that they would change their hours to 8 to 5. And yes, I do want to point out to the board, Mr. Bliss did offer me to purchase my property in 2021. However, the sale to intent was looked over by my lawyer, and he had a lot of stipulations in it. So we had revised it, and he did not accept it. And he has since then given me another offer, but it was $50,000 less. So I'm not going to accept that offer. But if he wants to offer me his original offer, I'd be more than happy to take it.
Hi. Is there anyone else that wishes to speak against? Please state your name and your address.
Again, I'm Teresa Weider, 4270 South Taylor Road. I'm just a little confused. If the planning board okayed the building, was it okayed for 20 feet from the property line? And then when it was okayed, now you're coming back wanting to come closer. I'm just concerned, will this set a precedent that somebody will get an okay from the planning board and then all of a sudden come back and say, well, I just want to go over a little bit. That's a big concern of mine also. Not only for this, but the future of buildings in our community. Thank you.
I believe it was just preliminary approval of the planning board, which is not binding. Is that correct?
No, it's final approval.
The final approval? Mm-hmm.
They were given authorization to start site work.
No. Sorry, you saying correct?
The building hasn't moved. It was approved at that setback when we got planning board approval.
At what setback?
What we proposed.
The 9-foot, exactly what we're showing.
It was okayed at the 9-foot?
By the planning board, yes.
Knowing that
no.
It needs to no. be 20-foot, and they okayed it without a variance?
The
code was written with zero. They point out that the footnote was missing. And if the footnote had been in place that it's 20 feet, but this gentleman proceeded along with the code book reading, that footnote was it wasn't there. So they, in good faith, did proceed on, and it got numerous approvals.
Right, and that this item just came up recently when they applied for the building permit for the building, which I think was maybe a month ago.
And I also want to note it wasn't just the applicant that, more importantly, the former code enforcement officer was the one who advised that because there's nothing there, the setback is 0 feet. Meaning Chris, of course, did his due diligence homework and was advised there wasn't a required setback. We're not blaming anyone, but that's how we got into the situation we're in.
Is there anyone else in the audience that wishes to speak against the granting of variance? Okay. Did you receive any?
Go ahead.
Name and address, please.
Madam Chairman and Zoning Board members, my name is Marie Manley, and I've lived in Orchard Park for over 65 years, and I've seen many developments go up. I love our Orchard Park. I commend each of you for serving on these volunteer committees and continuing to make Orchard Park what it is today. I am not against variances. However, I am when developers take advantage of trying to cut corners, violating our codes. Bliss Construction knocked down the yellow house at the corner and began filling the hole with the debris. Thanks to our inspector, making Bliss Construction do it the right way. The parking of 44 cars concerns me. It's all blacktop. And I believe there's going to be drainage issues in the future. I believe this construction is too close to the line, and I agree with Denise Curran that the variance be denied. Thank you.
Can you please state your address? I don't think you said that.
My address?
Yes, please.
250 Sunset Terrace.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that wishes to speak against granting the variance? Okay. Do you receive any outside communication?
I did, it was forwarded to the board.
Okay. So I'm going to be closing the public hearing.
Is there any way we could just respond very briefly? Because I think there were some questions, that, at least from the neighbors. That
Sean, procedurally, she has to close the public hearing.
First, okay, I'm sorry. I always do that. Go ahead, please do that first.
Okay. So I'm closing the public hearing. Move forward with board discussion?
Yes.
Okay. Board discussion?
I'd like to hear what Sean has to say.
So, first of all, I want to note that, obviously, the person that's most impacted is Denise, who's here, who lives directly next door. I would mention several things. Number one, again, there's been some suggestions, not by her, that this was bad faith. It just simply isn't. If you look at the code you all have in front of you, that's left blank. Secondly, we certainly can discuss screening and landscaping along the common property line. I would note that I think I've worked with Paul Bliss over the course of the past 26 years on about 60 projects, and as much as any client I have, he does have a good reputation of dealing with residents. So if that hasn't occurred as much as it should, and I'll make sure it will. I will also go back to Paul based on the statement that was made by Denise tonight to talk about, well, is he still even interested in purchasing that property? Maybe he is. I believe you said it at the original purchase price. So that's certainly something we can discuss. A bunch of other comments were made, and of course, if you're a resident, this is confusing. Most of those comments pertain to the planning board's review, meaning we have an approved lighting plan. There will not be any lighting spillover. We have an approved drainage plan. Believe it or not, this will actually improve the drainage on site because it will now go into a stormwater management system. We have approved architectural plans. And then finally, and again, I'm not blaming Denise, but I believe part of her driveway is actually on the property today. So it may give the appearance of being closer than it really is, but what we're showing there is a minimum setback of 9 feet, and the predominant side of that building, side yard setback, is 10 feet. So again, based on the balancing test and the five criteria, I think it'd be tough to provide stronger justification for a variance, especially when clear as day it's not a self-created hardship.
Is the survey line staked and marked? for the lot line?
Yeah, most likely, yeah. They stake out the building, it's most likely stake.
Chris, would you know that, is it?
It is.
It is.
Right, and the reason why they may have dug closer to the property line, obviously the footers for the wall is a little wider than the wall, so they did have to, would have to dig over a little further. And the reason why they did it ahead of time is some of the soils are bad. So they had to dig up bad soils and fill them back in with global fill to make it stable, which they, I guess, were able to do as part of their site work.
During board discussion that we're in now, I wonder, would it be prudent to have, if there's a motion, to have part of the motion that this site plan go back to the conservation board to pick screening instead of this board pick screening?
Yeah, I wouldn't suggest that we pick the screening. I just wanted to make sure that there was ample screening between.
If it was approved, the project could go on and continue, and that would just be contingent upon getting your use and occupancy permit to have the conservation board, so it wouldn't delay your project.
Right. And the conservation board has looked and approved the landscaping, so it wouldn't be a start from scratch. They could see we just focus on any additional landscaping. We'd be okay with that.
From our aspect, the building isn't adding really lighting to. Are there windows on that side of the building?
There is windows, actually. Right, but there's no exterior lighting.
Exterior lighting. So there's no exterior lighting. The parking lot lighting isn't part of the variance or anything we considered. Wherever the building was on the lot, the parking lot could be closer to 20 feet and wouldn't need a variance.
And the parking lighting will be dark sky compliant, all the latest technology that prevents spillover.
Right, we did submit a photometric plan with our engineer drawing that was approved.
Right, so that's my thoughts on it. I wish there was we were in a different stage of this where changes were more feasible.
I can agree with Dwight and get behind the deal as long as the extra landscaping is approved by the conservation board. I think they acted in good faith based on how the code was written. And therefore, I support it.
Can you please use your microphone? It's so hard to hear you. Thank you.
I think the applicant has acted in good faith. Proceeded along with and how the code was written at the time. These gentlemen carefully followed the code that was given to them, and after they already begun leased the building, etc., an error was discovered on a footnote on a page, but they proceeded as the code was written, and I don't think it's fair to deny them the ability to proceed because they proceeded in good faith how the code was written. So that's what I said.
That was left off? How the code was written, even though it was left
off? I'm going to show you the copy. Sure. I see there's nothing there. That's what we're talking about. See the blue, so that's it's blank.
Do I have a board member willing to make a motion?
I would want to make a motion to approve the area variance with the condition that the landscaping that was requested at the rear of the building be approved by the conservation board. I don't think there'd be any undesirable change in the character of the neighborhood or detriment to nearby properties. The benefit cannot be achieved in any other way except through granting the variance. The request is not substantial, and I refer back to how the code was written at the time that they started the development. It's not going to be adverse effect or impact on the physical or environmental conditions of the neighborhood or district. The difficulty is so was a difficulty self-created. I don't think so, but that doesn't preclude the granting of the variance.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. On a question, Kim?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Dwight?
Yes.
Chair votes no, but you've got four, so good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
When you're ready, if you can read the next.
CBA file number 823, Frank and Mary Albert, 3837 North Freeman Road, zoned R2, SPL number 162.10-2-11, part of Farm Lot 8, Township 9, Range 7, request an area variance to replace their storm-damaged garage in the existing location forward of the primary structure. No accessory structure shall be located within the front yard or the required side yard. Section 144-24A1B.
Four. You can sit, stand, whatever you feel more comfortable with.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Joe Gaffalo. This is Frank Albert, who is the property and house owner. So we're here today for the variance to rebuild his garage in front of his house, which he had an original garage there that fell down to a storm over the winter. And we're proposing to reutilize the existing foundation to get all of his belongings and be able to park his cars back into his previous garage that he used to have. This is the best location in his property. The rest of his property is full of well-grown trees. There's plumbing and electrical lines that run underneath in the septic. So being able to reutilize the existing foundation where it currently is the most optimal.
Okay.
With that, I'll open up the question.
Okay. And did I start with you then? Okay, then Bob, I think it's your turn.
So it's going to be a big cleanup this project.
Yep. So he had the original garage that fell down, and now he's left with all his belongings kind of outside, and his car's parked in his driveway and trying to get it all back into his garage.
Did you get any input from the neighbor?
I believe one of his neighbors is here.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Dwight?
Will you be operating any kind of business out of this structure?
Nope.
I have another question.
I guess my only question is, where are you going to put everything while you're constructing this?
Sure. So right now, he kind of has most of it in his house and tucked away in his backyard as much as he can. It has to leave like that until eventually.
It looked to me like there was a lot that was still there in front of, was it the tennis court?
Yeah, so that's the main reason for rebuilding the garage. Yeah.
I like the idea, but just a question.
Sure.
I wish I could come up with something, but I don't have anything. Anyone else have any questions? Okay, then I'm going to go to the floor. Is there anyone here that wishes to speak on behalf of granting variance? Please state your name and your address for the record.
Michelle Terry, 3841 North Freeman Road, and I just wanted to comment that this was an unforeseen environmental event that really caused catastrophic event to their garage, and I will object.
Okay. there anyone else that wishes to speak on behalf of granting variance? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak against the granting variance? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak against the granting variance? Have you received any outside communication?
No.
Okay. So I'm going to close the public hearing portion for discussion.
I think it's a good project.
Yeah, no
problem. Very good. I agree with that.
Okay. Do I have a board member rolling make a motion?
I would make a motion for approval. There will not be an undesirable change in the character of the neighborhood or a detriment to nearby properties created. The benefits sought cannot be achieved in any other way other than through the granting of the variance. The request is not substantial. There will not be an adverse effect or impact on the physical or environmental conditions of the neighborhood or the district. And although the difficulty is self-created, that does not preclude the granting of the variance.
Do you have a second?
I'll second.
Who wants it?
Oh.
Kim can have it.
No, you can have it, Joy.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Kim.
Okay. On my question, Kim?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Dwight?
Yes.
Chair also, so good luck.
Thank you.
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Yes.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No. So there's no motion. What about the sign?
So, Anna? If you're a high school student, need your paper sign, come on forward. If anyone of us can sign.
The cutoff was a while ago, so there's no meeting.
So, with the table?
Thank you so much.
Where's your official form?
So,